We have heard the Christmas story this evening in its various presentations in the Gospels. We have seen the promises that God gave from the dawn of history when he promised a Saviour would come. But I've got a question tonight which is raised by the wise men and is a question which each of us needs to answer. In Matthew 2, we read that the wise men come and they ask the question, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? At this time of year, we sing our carols, we read Bible passages, and there's a way in which it all gets blurred. The fiction of many of the Christmas traditions, both secular and some which have a measure of truth in Scripture, they all get blurred with the actual truth of Scripture. A carol that we don't sing, but is very popular, says, we three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts, we traverse afar. And in that, the writer makes the assumption that there were three men who came to Jesus. And we take it, or many people take it for granted. They take it that these men were kings. But in fact, we're told that they're wise men, possibly astrologers or magicians. They're of the Orient. But who says they came from the Orient? All we know is that they came from the East. It could have been countries that today we call Iran or Iraq, ancient Babylon. And we've got all of these myths mixed up. And there's a way in which the truth of Christianity gets damaged as a result of that. So for a short while this evening, I want to ask this question. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? I'm not going to answer the question myself. I'm going to let the Bible answer it. Let's refine the question a little bit to begin with. Who is the King of the Jews? Who was it that these wise men came to see in Bethlehem? Well, our readings this evening answered these questions for us. Some of these points, those of us who meet regularly, we've already seen this over this Christmas period. But who is the one who is born King of the Jews? Well, in Matthew 1 and verse 18, we are told that he is the Saviour of God's people, because we are told that she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. We live in a world, don't we, that in many ways is destroying itself because it wants to live without the one true God. But the one true God came into this world, his world, in order that people might be saved. To many people, Jesus is still a baby. They never move beyond that. But, again, in that conversation that was had between the angel and Joseph, we are told in verse 23 of chapter 1 that they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Many people throughout history have tried to live without God. There is no God, philosophers have said down through the years. Atheists have claimed there is no God. Where is God? If you say there is a God, where is he? Well, this verse tells us that he is ever present, God with us. There is nowhere on this earth that we can go without God being present. But we are also told that he is the shepherd of his people. The wise men were told in chapter 2 and verse 6 that a ruler would rise from Bethlehem and he will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Obviously, that prophecy builds on the most famous of the Old Testament Psalms, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that wonderful psalm talks about God's care for his people. God is not at a distance, seeking to suppress and to crush. God became man in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus described himself as the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. But fourthly, he is the King of the Jews. Now, Jesus didn't come to establish a political kingdom. On a number of occasions, his disciples got the wrong end of the stick. And they wanted him to be a political leader. They wanted him to drive out the occupying forces of their country. But he said to them, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world. Friends, the Lord Jesus Christ has not come to establish a political kingdom. He has come to establish a spiritual kingdom, a kingdom that starts in the heart of every believer. It starts in the heart. It starts in the soul. It starts in the spirit of the believer. And then it demonstrates itself so that the influence of Christians permeates this world. And his kingdom, his authority rules for us. So who is the King of the Jews? He's one who wants to save. He is ever present with us. He cares for his people. And he will rule. He is a king. This name of Jesus, the King of the Jews, was used most towards the end of his life, in particular the last few hours of his life, and there on the cross, they nailed that board above his head. The King of the Jews. People wanted it removed, but the Roman authorities would not do that. Jesus established his kingdom by dying. He gave his life so that everyone who believes in him might be saved. But he demonstrated his power by rising from the dead. God became man as a child. He allowed himself to be crucified and to die. But he showed his authority when he rose from the dead. Who is the King of the Jews? He is the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for his people. But where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? For many people, they're uncertain where he is. Those who have allowed their understanding of Jesus to be distorted, to be blurred. And we see examples of those people here. They misunderstand. When they hear about Jesus, they get offended. They are troubled. We see that in verse 3. When King Herod heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Don't talk to me about your Jesus. I don't want to know about your Jesus. Why? Because he troubles people. Why does he trouble them? Because they misunderstand the purposes of Jesus. Jesus has not come to condemn. Yes, he will show us our sin. He will show us where we have failed. But he will tell us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Where is Jesus? By many people, he is misunderstood. By other people, He is ignored. And we were looking at this morning in our service, that there are people who know their Bibles. They can tell you this, they can tell you that about Jesus. But it's all up here. Or it's all here. It's all in books. It makes absolutely no difference to them. We read in chapter 2 that the scribes, the chief priests, were able to say, he is going to be born in Bethlehem. They had all the answers. But what difference did it make? Absolutely nothing. He is ignored. Other people relegate him to second place. Like King Herod, he called the wise men to him, and he says, well, you go and find him in verse 8 of chapter 2. And when you found him, you come and tell me, so that I might come and worship him also. But in reality, he's in second place. Where is he in your life tonight, friends? Is he the King of the Jews? Is he the one who is to take priority? Are you here tonight because it is Christmas, but sadly, you don't think about Jesus at other times? This man, Herod, relegated Jesus to second place. And he began a slippery slope. He put him in second place. He said, other things are more important in my life. And by doing that, he broke the first commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Having put Jesus in second place, he then took the next step and he actively opposed Jesus. Verse 16 tells us, then Herod, when he saw that he'd been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem, in all that region, who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he ascertained from the wise men. He broke the first commandment by not loving God first and foremost. He broke the second commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, by destroying these children. Friends, every time we put God into second place, we begin the process of turning away completely against the one who has come into the world to save sinners. One of the Old Testament prophets says, you have sown the wind, you shall reap the whirlwind. What does that mean? It means you've taken one step away from God. You've lived without him. And just as a wind is something that you can cope with, so a whirlwind is something that overpowers us. And if we choose to live without God, the God who loved us and gave himself for us, it is inevitable that we will reap the whirlwind. What a tragedy. Jesus came to save. But if we live without him, what hope have we got? That's for people who will not believe in him. But the Christmas story tells us about people who are prepared to trust him. Where is the one who is born King of the Jews? Well, he is saving his people. I've already mentioned this. He came to save. Every Christian is a person who says, I have fallen short. If you were to go around and ask every Christian in this building tonight, are you perfect? Have you got it all together? Have you never made a mistake? Each one of us would say, I have failed. I have failed to love God. I have failed to love my neighbor. But I have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have confessed that I have failed. And in his grace and in his mercy, he has forgiven me. Where is the one born King of the Jews? Even at the close of 2012, he is saving people who will put their trust in him. But Bernard, if I put my trust in him, if I admit that I've blown it, I've made mistakes, I haven't loved him as I ought to, how am I going to live? Well, he teaches his people. These passages of scripture keep going back to the Old Testament. When we become Christians, it's as though we go back to school. Not an academic school, but a spiritual school. And God teaches his people. He teaches us through the Bible. He teaches us by his Holy Spirit. He teaches us by those appointed to preach and to teach the word of God. With the one who is born King of the Jews, he is teaching his people. But he's also the center of worship. Verse 11 says, "And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him." We live in a world that worships self. "I'm all that matters," the majority of people say today. Friends, that is a tragedy. Because if all that matters is me, I don't care about you. The facts are that we will destroy ourselves. It will lead to anarchy. But when God is central and we seek to worship him, then everyone else takes their place. We tonight have worshipped the God who became man. But as we have prayed after each reading, we have thought of other people. Because Christian worship demands a vertical relationship with God, and it demonstrates itself in a relationship on a horizontal level with other people. Where is he who is born King of the Jews? He is central to worship. And the final point that I want to make from this reading tonight is he is leading his people. Joseph was a carpenter, ignored probably by other people, with no spiritual significance amongst the scribes and the Pharisees of his day. But when Joseph believed the messenger of God in chapter 1 and obeyed the command of God and was prepared to trust God, a relationship began with God which was not going to end. And we see that relationship growing in chapter 2 and verse 13. "Now when they had departed, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you.' And he arose and took the child and his mother and departed by night." The Lord began to lead Joseph. For every Christian tonight, the King of the Jews is going before us, leading us in the way that he wants us to go. Friends, where is Jesus, the babe of Bethlehem, in your life tonight? Where is the King of the Jews who died on the cross, who rose again and is reigning in heaven? Where is he? Is he relegated to second place? Is he placed there on the fringes of your life? I beg of you, reconsider your priorities, because Jesus did not come to condemn, but he came that people might be saved. And when we are saved, we have that relationship with him which says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." I pray tonight that each one of us will know the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ living in our hearts this Christmas. Amen.